Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. On Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Big issues, big guests, all throughout the election of 2024. Sean Parnell, Butler, he was there on stage when President Trump was shot and hit. And then with the mail-in ballots, his credibility attached to that, very successful. But thinking, some point, this guy's going to be in Washington doing something in this administration. And now he is. He will be the Pentagon spokesperson. And will be an undersecretary, as I understand it. He'll explain what that means and what he'll be doing. But it triggered, after we talked with the captain, this vote thing. I've been contacted by a couple people telling me the atmosphere in Harrisburg looks good, potentially, to get something done on election reform. Because things are calmed down. We're past the most exciting election and tumultuous election probably in our lifetime, I would argue. What is it that you would want? So I'm kind of the point person here to bring back some of the suggestions that have popular appeal. I've already gotten from two or three people some very good ones that I'm going to report. You can let me know yours. Let's go to the man who headed that up, Captain Sean Parnell. Captain, welcome back. Congratulations. So glad to see you in that role.
Hey, thanks, Dom. It's great to be here.
Well, I don't know what the role is, though. I know it's the spokesperson. That role I get, and that's really going to be interesting. Have you done, well, you were the spokesperson for mail-in balloting, your credibility on that?
Well, I've been doing national media since 2012.
Right.
So over 12 years now, I've been kind of in the media. But the job, so the president, so first of all, by the way, I found out yesterday at 4:30 p.m. from the president and the SecDef that the job was official and that the president wanted to announce it himself. So to be clear, I'm still wrapping my mind around the enormity of all of this. But the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Public Affairs, the president wanted me to wear two hats here. Now, most people in that job, the Assistant Secretary for Public Affairs, they do just that job, and then they bring somebody on to be the Pentagon spokesperson. The president wants me to do both. And you know, quick reference point for people out there listening, John Kirby was the last person to do
both.
Whoa,
wait a minute. That's not the model.
Yeah, I'm just saying, yeah. He's the last guy. He's the last guy to do both.
Well, wait a minute. Parnell knows what act to follow, because this is an easy act to follow. I'm trying to think of who the best Pentagon spokesperson ever has been. This is an easier one to follow. Yes.
Well, so the Pentagon, that's a very, it's an important job, because it's my job to communicate on behalf of the DOD and the American warfighter to the American public, the media, and I'm the interface with Congress. And so, you know, I'll have a complete operational tie-in to know what's going on around the world. I'll be tied in on acquisitions, because I've got to be able to articulate what we're doing in a transparent way to the American people and to the press. But also, part of the job is interfacing with the White House and the president's national security team and our intelligence community at the CIA and other places, and make sure our messaging is all on point and that we're communicating effectively. And then the other part of the job is the public affairs part. So, you know, my office also handles, salute to service partnerships with the NFL and all that other cool stuff that the DOD does. So, and also Pentagon tours. So if you want a Pentagon tour, my office will handle that.
Wait a minute, though. Now, I broadcast from the Pentagon once. How often have you been in the Pentagon? Our guide kind of got lost, just saying, when we did it there.
How often?
It's unbelievable. Just the parking lots and the whole thing, Sean, is amazing.
Dom, I've never been in the Pentagon once.
Oh, okay.
I've never been, you know, all my time in the military was front towards enemy, in the trenches somewhere, fighting the enemy. I've never been an office guy, you know?
Okay.
So it's going to be a little bit of a change for me in that regard, but it's amazing, you know? And here's the thing that I keep thinking about. After 9/11, when I joined the military, I was this young 20-something kid. We got attacked. I was super angry. Wanted to be a part of America's response. I knew about how amazing our military was because I've always been a student of history, but I didn't really truly know. So I understood it in an academic perspective, I guess. But what I wish I'd known going in is that we really truly are standing on the shoulders of giants here, and that the legacy that the modern day warfighter inherited from everybody else who came before and all the freedoms that we have here in this country, we owe it to those men and women who served this country. And to have the opportunity to represent the Department of Defense, the American military at the highest level as their face to not just America, but the whole world. I mean, it's an enormous responsibility, and to also be able to represent the American men and women who are wearing the uniform now. I mean, it's just an unbelievable honor.
Well,
I didn't see it coming, but it's an honor.
I would say, in my mind, when I look at this, you mentioned Kirby. Yeah, the White House press secretary parries every day, the voice of the president. But the matters when somebody at the Pentagon speaks, the spokesperson on these things, much graver matters, as we see with the events of just the past week.
Yes. Absolutely. And I mean, that's why it's so critically important to have somebody there that's committed to honesty and transparency. You know, because Dom, if the American people are to gain back the trust that was lost over the last decade or so in once venerable American institutions, it's going to take almost a radical level of transparency. And you saw the Secretary of Defense himself after that tragic helicopter crash do a direct-to-camera video on what I assume was his cell phone from the office of the Secretary of Defense saying, here's what happened, here's what we know, we're going to get to the bottom of it, and we're going to keep you in the loop. That's what it's going to take to gain the trust of the American people back, and that's what we're committed to do. That's what I'm committed to do from that podium as well.
Well, Sean, while you're here, you know, the sense, and I think Pete Hegseth, to your point, has been on top of this. This investigation will not go on forever. We're going to give you information as we get it. Just the idea of, I realize the military has to train, but you may have a better sense, and I've never flown in there. I've been at the Pentagon, as I said, and just looking at how crowded it is with chauffeuring people back and forth, and then the flights to the busiest runway in the country, it would seem like coming out of this, the military, fresh look about where do we train, given how crowded this environment is already.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly challenging. And, you know, I really appreciate, you know, both Secretary Hegseth and the president talking about what happened in such an open and transparent way. I mean, some people would raise questions. Oh, well, should the president be talking about diversity, equity, inclusion right now? The answer is absolutely. You know, in combat, for example, Dom, at a tactical level, when we'd come back, we'd get shot at in an ambush, we'd have a couple guys wounded, some evac'd off the battlefield. The first thing that you do is you address openly and honestly what went wrong. Oh, we didn't clean this gun properly. Oh, so we weren't wearing the right equipment. Or, oh, our trucks needed maintenance, and that's why they broke down. There's no time for politics when lives are on the line, and I mean that sincerely. So if there is a deficiency that has happened or has been happening over the last decade that has made our force weaker or compromised our force in some way, it's a commander's job, whether it's the president of the United States on down to the tactical level, their job is to address it like what they call a no BS assessment in the military. Here's what's wrong. Here's what we need to do to fix it. And we need to fix it quickly, because if we don't, people could die. And I think that's the level of commitment and almost even a certain level of frustration with the president that you're seeing right now. He wants these problems fixed and he wants to confront them head on. And I appreciate that because it's going to take bold action to really get our military back to a place where it's, I mean, we're still the best military on the face of the planet, but we can be better. And I think you see that reflected. I mean, when I say you think we can be better, I mean, it's no secret that we're in the grips of the greatest recruiting crisis since the Vietnam
yes.
War. And there's a reason for that, right? And so I think by the end of this year, you're going to see recruiting go up, though, a lot, because we're going to focus on readiness and lethality and war fighting, and that's what we're meant to do.
Sean Parnell with us. Captain Parnell, when do you start?
I have absolutely no idea. Like I said, I just found out about the job, this amazing honor yesterday. So I don't know. I guess it's one of those things. Like the president says, you start this day. Well, you come hell or high water, you're starting that day.
Okay. Yeah, because
still waiting.
You know, have you dealt with you've done all kinds of interviews. You've been the face of different things, but have you been at the podium doing stuff like that with? Let's face it. Well, I did see that Secretary Hegseth has rotated out outfits like NPR, and he's bringing in the new media, which I'm very happy to see, to give them a booth there, because then the questions you get are going to reflect what the American people want asked.
You're 100% right. I'm glad that you brought this up. So first of all, I've done press conferences before as a candidate, both for the House and for the Senate. I haven't done daily press conferences like I'll be doing in the Pentagon. But regarding your point about rotating media outfits out of, I mean, there are like NBC, NPR, Politico, New York Times. They have a permanent presence and have had a permanent presence in the Pentagon. I mean, offices in the Pentagon paid for by the taxpayer for decades. Did you know that? I bet you your listeners
didn't know
that.
I did not know that it was paid for by the taxpayers. No.
Yeah. So the media has painted this as like, oh my God, Secretary Hegseth, this is propaganda. No. All those media outlets still have full access to the Pentagon.
Right.
All that we're saying is that, hey, let's give other people a shot, right? Now the New York Post can have some office space. Now OAN can have some office space. Breitbart and the Huffington Post, right?
Yeah, the Huffington Post is in there. That's right.
Yeah, right. So this is going to change annually. So next year it'll be a new group of people. We're trying to give access to everybody. And so no one is denied access, which is the important takeaway here, though.
Yeah, it's just more office space actually anchoring someone in there. Exactly. The media not reporting it that way. I can hardly wait to the first press conference. Oh, my goodness.
I could be.
First of all,
I know.
Finding where it is, finding the bathrooms, et cetera, there. I'm telling you, be ready for. Have you ever seen the film No Way Out?
Yes.
Go and rewatch it. It's one of my favorite films, particularly the twist at the end with Kevin Costner. Well, I could see how in the Pentagon they're searching for this guy for days. It goes the whole movie, and they're not able to find him. Yeah. Well, Sean, this is just the greatest news for you, the family, et cetera. Can hardly wait to that first day, and we want to be in touch with you when time permits. Please come back on and update us.
I'll be there if you need me. Thanks, Dom.
All right, Captain. Thank you. Thanks very much, Sean.
All right, take care. Bye.
Captain Sean Parnell here on Talk Radio 1210. Dan, have you ever seen Ed Henry? You seen more film? No?
No, we actually took off our headphones because we didn't want to hear the spoiler at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not giving. I didn't give a spoiler.
Right, I just added it to my list.
Yeah. Okay, No Way Out, Kevin Costner. Ro and I love it. I think we've seen it two times. And there's several. Gene Hackman is in it. The guy that plays Gene Hackman is Secretary of Defense. The guy that plays his chief of staff is just a brilliant actor in it. Oh, my God, the stuff that's... I forget who the love interest is of Kevin Costner, but the twist at the end you will not see coming. But the Pentagon is one of the stars, because as they're hunting for Kevin Costner and somebody else, they're having trouble finding him. And in the Pentagon, I can understand why. You could have 100 guys looking for somebody.
The reason you don't know, it's Sean Young.
Sean Young. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You know, we were there. We had a guide just from the parking lot. We had to call him. I think we parked one parking lot over, which seems like it was at least a mile or a mile and a half. You look coming in and it's just, oh my God, look at these cars. What the heck is this? And then when you get inside, The guy says, yeah, it's this way. We're pretty sure. We had on the secretary. We had Donald Rumsfeld, who was a rock star secretary of defense. We had on the guy who was the architect, part of the Iraq war, who was controversial. And we had a little back and forth with him there. And I was on at night doing that. But it was nuts. It was really it's a blur to me. I don't even know how we got to where we were supposed to be. But, Dan, I'm sure we're going to be going to the Pentagon again.
Yeah, we're
going to
go explore those secret tunnels under the Pentagon, you know?
No, I think he'll set that up. We can get some office space there.
Really
Gitmo, good. The Pentagon. I think we should broadcast from there. Yeah.
Really good food at the Pentagon, too. They got a Moe's. They got a Moe's, a Jamba Juice, a Panera Bread inside the Five Guys inside the Pentagon. Are you kidding
me? Well, you think of how many people, and they're all colonel and all that stuff, and there's like how many floors. It seems like miles long.
Do you think the barista at Panera needs a security clearance to work in the Pentagon?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah,
I bet it's kind of odd being like, yeah, I work at the Pentagon. And it's like, dude, you're wearing a McDonald's uniform.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, doing McDonald's there. In a Panda Express.
Yeah, the only thing with Parnell is he's really a combat guy. So is Hegseth. A lot of these people at the Pentagon are mocked by Colonel Alan West. You know what I mean? They haven't been into that. They're more paper put. It's going to be a revolution with them, too.
Even Potbelly Sandwich works there. Yeah. What?
I bet they have 50 generals on there at any one point. That's how, you know. Incredible it is. All right, coming up, I've been tasked behind the scenes. What is it you'd like to see done to make for a better election in Pennsylvania? Think of all the things we've been through. What's the number one item? You can hit me on Twitter, too. You can hit me email or call in. And I'm going to be telling you more about this because in Harrisburg, they tell me they think the time is right to get some of these done. My number one would be voter ID. Does that stand a chance? Well, we'll see. That's what I'm going to report. 855.
Why do they need a jeweler at the Pentagon?
Because I told you, it's like a... I think a lot of them probably sleep there. It's
Yeah, but you don't need a jeweler for that.
You never know when you need it. You always need a jeweler.
Or an AT&T store?
Yeah, you've been away from your wife for an anniversary. Get her some jewelry. You tell my adjutant, Borowski, go get that diamond. I have to bring it home.
I wonder if Doge will address the, the jewelry store.
Yeah, don't get Elon Musk to say, hey, what the hell is the Five Guys doing? I don't like their burgers. Get them out of there. Oh, my God. 855-839-1210. Sean Parnell, you heard him here first. Pentagon spokesperson, be the face of a lot of this stuff. Think of following Admiral Kirby. Oh, my God. 855-839-1210.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
All right, time to your Dano show. So Bill Cassidy, the senator from Louisiana, explained why he voted for RFK Jr., but he did say pediatricians were his most notable opponents. Now Tulsi Gabbard up next. President Trump and the Chinese dictator to speak on the phone. We'll talk with Gordon Chang about that and these tariffs on China, and China now retaliating as expected. China's the source of all these problems, and I think in the first Trump go-round, he was effective with targeted tariffs around China. Do they get hurt more by this, and do they come to the table, or do we, given the fact that we have such an interlocking, I mean, there's never been a time in history that I know of where you had this kind of interlocking relationship with a country that is not an adversary. They're the enemy. They are the enemy of the world. Gordon Chang is the best in the world to break that down. He'll be here at 1:30. But you heard Sean Parnell, the Pentagon, and this USAID. We heard from Pastor Bill Devlin, who may be on a little bit later, who travels the world aiding people, and he knows up close the corruption of USAID. I mean, $1.5 million to advance diversity, equity, and inclusion in Serbia's workplaces and business communities. $70,000 they spent for the production of a DEI musical in Ireland. $2.5 million for electric vehicles in Vietnam. $47,000 for a transgender opera in Colombia. Just a little bit of what they did. They're doing what they want with this money. Marco Rubio making a good case that that's exactly it. And now he has his day-to-day guy, but he's going to be running it. It's supposed to fulfill our mission to protect the interests of the United States globally. And I am in a camp that thinks at times we spend money so that a country doesn't become a place that's going to be occupied by forces that are negative toward us to gain goodwill and all that. But their vision of it is silly at best and corrupt at worst. And they're not following any guidelines from the Secretary of State or anybody else or the president. That's what we're trying to do with this. All right, let's go to Kirk, who was in King of Prussia. The winner of yesterday's answer was King of Prussia was the winning answer. Kirk on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Kirk, good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing there?
Good, Kirk.
I just had a quick Pentagon story. I'm an industrial hygienist by trade. That's what I do for my employee. And I don't know if you guys know this. The Pentagon was built on top of an old dump.
I didn't know
that. Back in the early, it was before 2001, so it would have been late 90s. The company that was doing pile driving in the basement of the Pentagon to stop it from sinking, they knew of me. So they had an issue. People were complaining of welding fume, carbon monoxide. So they called me to come down and monitor the air in the basement of the Pentagon. So I guess I was in my naivete. I just went there with my briefcases filled with... it gets funny. So I didn't know exactly where they were. They just said, yeah, come down to the Pentagon and
Oh, God.
So I come down to the Pentagon, not knowing where they are. I didn't see any construction fencing yet.
Yes.
So I'm like looking around, and I came up to this one guy. He was like a Marine guarding one of the entrances on one side of the building. And I said, I'm here to do this. And he's like, I don't know anything about this. Get away. He basically just said, I don't care what you're doing. Get off my side of the building. So I just drove around until I saw construction fencing and a ramp going into the basement of the Pentagon. I parked my car. I grabbed these two huge leather briefcases filled with pumps and things like that to put on people and walked right into the basement of the Pentagon. Nobody stopped me. And I kept asking people, I'm like, doesn't anybody care that I just came into the basement of the Pentagon? Don't they want to check this stuff to make sure?
Yeah.
Nobody ever did.
I'm not surprised. And you can testify, Kirk, though, how big this is and how easy it is to just get lost and not be found again.
Massive.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kirk. I love that movie, by the way, too. I love that movie, No Way Out.
Good. Yeah, people should watch it. Thank you, Kirk. It's Costner, really good in this. And you mentioned the guy's name, Sean Young, whatever it was, that plays the assistant to Gene Hackman. Gene Hackman's very good in this, too. And it's all inside Pentagon stuff, mainly, with international conspiracy. I'm telling you, you will love it. And the twist at the end is as good as any twist. I didn't see it coming in a million years. Just did not see it coming. So don't Google it or anything. Just watch it. And you'll see what I mean about the twist. And Costner, it's very early. I think it's very early Costner in this. He's got to be in his early 30s, I think. If not, it could have been. It's probably early 30s. All right, Joe in Columbus on our side question today. Hey, Joe, welcome in.
Good afternoon, Dom. Dom, I don't know how it originated. My origination point was I go back to AOC with her egomaniacal, look at me, look at me. But I'm hoping it culminated with Selena Gomez, and it's these reactionary videos that
right.
they're doing.
Yep.
I just don't see how somebody's having an emotional breakdown and could just think on hitting a record button.
You're right. They seem staged. Well,
remember the reaction of the Leave Britney Alone video and how
yes.
we all made fun of that guy for being so emotional, and now it's like He's right. Joe Columbus says it's a cool thing to do it.
Well, Joe, one of the shows that I find despicable is America's Funniest Videos, because having kids run into walls, like, we're believing they naturally did. I can't stand that show.
Do you really have a thorn in your side about America's Funniest Videos?
I can't stand it. It should be on TV.
Tom
it's
Bergeron. Is, what did he ever
Tom
do?
Tom Bergeron is not the host.
Any normal parent would throw the camera down and fade the black and go help their kid out.
Exactly, Joe. No, I'm with you. That's a good answer on this. It is a sign of the times, Joe. Thank you. All right, reaction videos. We put that in. Coming up, we're going to talk with the great Gordon Chang. Gordon, I'd say, is the world's premier expert, not only on the Communist Chinese Party, China, but also how to deal with them. You have reaction from John Kennedy on what, Dan, there?
USAID, his colleagues freaking out. It's short. It's funny.
Of course. He always is. Here's Senator Kennedy.
Some of my colleagues are screaming like they're part of a prison riot, that this is unconstitutional and wrong, and they're very process-driven. In my opinion, they should be substance-driven.
All right. Coming up, Gordon Chang. More complicated dealing with China now. We're in the big leagues, not Canada and Mexico, or certainly Colombia. How does this play out, this trade war with China / fentanyl? What are we going to get from them? And a little bit later on, we will hopefully catch up with Pastor Bill, who travels the world. What is he seeing with USAID? Gordon Chang next. Hey, will you be putting your home up for sale in 2025? The market isn't what it used to be. Rising interest rates, pickier buyers, and changing home values make it tougher than ever. That's why you need an expert who really knows the real estate market inside and out. Someone who we know over the years gets results. Well, that's my great friend, Diane Cardano Casaccio of Cardano Realtors, the agent of choice for home sellers who want top dollar and a stress-free experience. She knows, like, how the market shifts affect your home's value, the smart upgrades, really good at that, that get you the highest return, what buyers demand in 2025, and how to make them compete for your home, how to sell your home fast without any costly mistakes. Diane doesn't do fluff, just real strategies that work, proven. Call Diane today to get a free signed copy of her new book, Model Home Mindset, and learn how to sell smarter. You can schedule an appointment or get the book. Call 215-576-8666. Schedule to meet or talk with Diane at dianescalendar.com, D-I-A-N-E-S, calendar.com. All right.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dom Giordano's show. Gordon Chang, you've heard over the years, all the time I've been doing talk radio, I think, is probably the premier expert, not only on China, what goes on, but also how to combat this. What should we do to be able to slow down what they're up to? His current book, Plan Red, China's Project to Destroy America. So when these people throw around the term adversary, that's such a lightweight term, is it not, versus what they really are? Let's go to Gordon Chang here on Talk Radio 1210. Gordon, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you so much. And you're absolutely right, Dom. Adversary does not describe our relationship or China's relationship with us. It's an enemy.
Yeah. And, you know, I try to look at the enemy as you do, and to see what is their strength. And the best example I can give, and I'm talking to the guy that is my Bible, you, for examples of this, is when Daryl Morey, who's the president of the Sixers, Gordon, was leaving Houston. I think he was getting ready to leave. And he just put free Hong Kong because it was in the news then. Now, of course, they had Yao Ming on the team, so I get it. But China went on a $1 billion campaign threatening the NBA, the country, got NBA players on their side, just because of saying free Hong Kong. That's what triggered them on something as inconsequential, you would think, as basketball.
Yes. Well, you know, for the Chinese regime, which is worried about its legitimacy, propaganda is critically important. And that's why they put their best people on it. And so when you have a general manager of an American basketball team say something about what was going on in Hong Kong, it went to the heart of what the Communist Party was worried about. So, yes, that shows you how fragile the Chinese Communist Party is.
Well, that is good news because, you know, I wouldn't have suspected that. So, Gordon, this challenge now with the president, he's speaking with the leader today, I think at 2 o'clock or so, and the tariffs that we placed on, does that hurt them more or does it hurt us, if you can assess that?
It hurts them more. And
okay.
The reason is they're a trade surplus country. We're the trade deficit one. And trade surplus countries have really difficult times in trade wars. So, for instance, for the first 11 months of last year, China's trade surplus with the United States was $270.4 billion. And they, when the final numbers come in, this is merchandise trade, when the final numbers come in, they're going to have a surplus for 2024, which was larger than the enormous surplus they had in the previous year. But the other reason China has a problem is that their economy is about two-thirds of the size of ours. We're much bigger, and we can push them around. So, no, China is in very difficult straits because of the Trump tariffs.
Is there any area where they're superior in this kind of tariff situation that we should worry about?
I think we should worry about what they could do in terms of trade embargoes. So, for instance, if they were to say that they were not going to supply either pharmaceuticals
right.
or active pharmaceutical ingredients, that would cause us a problem. I mean, it wouldn't be as bad as it sounds because we'll always be able to buy. Remember, we've got to buy, but they've got to sell, and we will be able to get it through third parties. But nonetheless, we shouldn't allow ourselves to be vulnerable on something critical with an enemy, not an adversary.
We've heard that since the at least the other Trump administration, at least you and I knew it, but I mean, it became public knowledge during COVID about the medical deficiencies we have here. Do you see any progress that we're making, or do presidents huff and puff about it, but the public doesn't seem to push them to get us out of this mess?
Yeah, the public is not pushing us.
Yeah.
President Trump, at the end of his first term, actually authorized a $750 million loan program to Eastman Kodak to produce APIs, active pharmaceutical ingredients. But the program was really misconceived, and it was at the end of his administration, so it failed anyway. This time, I hope that he not only renews the effort, but also does so in a more in a better way.
Gordon, when we Dan was able to secure you yesterday, too, I went back in my notes. We really wanted to talk with you and assess AI, which is a difficult thing to assess on top of it. And the markets last week, the drop due to the Chinese and AI. What's your analysis of it?
Yeah, DeepSeek, which is that private Chinese company, we know their AI is better than ours because it's open source. But we found out since then that DeepSeek actually was copying OpenAI's ChatGPT. They were violating OpenAI's terms of service by what a process that's known as distilling. In other words, their large language model was learning about how to operate from using ChatGPT's large language model, and that's intellectual property theft. Also, we've learned some other problems with DeepSeek's AI, and so we're not as far behind as people said. And by the way, OpenAI and other American companies will come out with new models, and those new models will be better than the Chinese ones. And I'm sure China will then get models better than ours. So this will be a long, drawn-out struggle. But China is not nearly as far as ahead as the Communist Party makes it out to be.
Talking with Gordon Chang, his new book, Plan Red, China's Project to Destroy America. What's the core? What do they think? Is it just time? 100 years, whatever it takes, is there something else that's their core?
Well, Xi Jinping, his general belief has been that the East is rising and the West is declining. And that's been his favorite phrase. But since he started talking about this, which was before COVID, it now appears that the opposite is true. The United States is getting stronger and China is getting weaker. Xi Jinping has got some real problems at home. He can't solve them because his solutions are making things worse. And so I think there's, you can see in China the deep pessimism among the Chinese people because they know that their country is headed fast in the wrong direction.
Gordon, if you don't have a position on it, that's okay. But why I have you here, it's my duty to ask you about this. Elon Musk, and sometimes the critics of Musk point to him, Bannon is one, and some of these others that are pretty wildly off the mark at times, that he is beholden to the Chinese because of the car and all that stuff.
We got to be concerned. I don't know what's in Musk's mind, but he said some things about Taiwan, which I think are not defensible. I mean,
okay.
You can agree with, things are not, but they're not defensible. And the reason is Musk has got that enormous investment of Tesla, and Tesla's got the enormous investment in China. So, yeah, we've got to be concerned. And we got to be concerned because, if we're going to get to the moon and Mars, it's only going to be because of Musk. And we can't have the Chinese putting leverage on Musk to put to slow down SpaceX, because SpaceX is absolutely critical to America's future.
And Gordon, why would they not have attacked Taiwan by now? What is it that holds them back? What are they looking for? They didn't do it in the Biden years. Could there be a weaker president? So why would we expect they might do it?
Well, they might do it because Xi Jinping is subject to extraordinary pressures at home. And even though Xi Jinping may think he won't succeed, he may do it anyway, because if he thinks he's got a 10% chance of succeeding, we would say he wouldn't do it. But if he thinks he's got a 100% chance of being executed or thrown in jail or whatever, if he doesn't invade Taiwan, then, 10% looks pretty good.
The reason why they haven't
done it up to now is, first of all, it would be deeply, deeply unpopular with the Chinese people. Also, for Xi Jinping to invade Taiwan, he's got to give some general or admiral almost complete control over the Chinese military. And Xi does not trust his flag officers, even on the best of days, but especially now where there is a lot of rumbling in the Chinese military against Xi Jinping. So there's a lot of reasons why he is not going to start hostilities with an invasion of the main island of Taiwan.
Gordon, thank you so much. Again, I know how busy you are. We really enjoy when you come on here. The current book, Plan Red, China's Project to Destroy America. Where do we go to find you?
On Twitter at GordonChang. And I archive my articles for free on my website, GordonChang.com.
Gordon, thank you as always. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Dom. I really appreciate it.
Gordon Chang here on Talk Radio 1210. It's the guy, and he straightforward talked about Elon Musk, et cetera, and China. Now, he seems to think that the Chinese are shakier, at least the current leader, and that, that gives me hope. We don't want to overestimate. But I just look at how relentless they are on the smallest things and don't know that we're facing that, that the country is willing to do that, including the medical supplies. Remember that during COVID. All right, I'm coming to you at 855-839-1210. Josh Shapiro did his state of the budget today, or his budget address. He has $4.5 billion deficit and yet still wants more money, $500 million more for K-12 education, but not school choice. No mention of that I've seen here by Josh Shapiro. Not school choice again. He's calculating you can't be for school choice, even on paper, and be the leading Democrat in 2028. I'm telling you, this year, if they get past the Assembly and pass that Fairness in Women's Sports Act, which they'll pass in the Senate, and there's a reasonable chance to pass it in the House, will he sign it? I'm convinced now he's not going to sign it. And that's going to be his play, hoping the Democrats, wanting to be radical, are where it's going to be in 2028. I don't think that's a winning hand, but we'll see. Side question today. Something that is big in the 2020s. We've had some great answers so far. AI was one of them that I just asked Gordon Chang about. Here's how you get in. 855-839-1210. All right, Dom Giordano Show. Welcome in. I mentioned this earlier. Let me give you a little bit more detail. Crossing Broad. Love a couple people over there. They're great. They're playing with an idea. I think they're kidding. But maybe over in WIP, Eagles fans are not kidding. They're afraid of the refs in the upcoming big game. A reader sent to Kevin Kincaid. This elementary school in Kansas City is doing a spirit week, and Wednesday, tomorrow, is dressed like a referee day. Now, you know the history of this. If you touch Mahomes, the argument is they're going to give you a 15-yard penalty, and the spot with Josh Allen in the game 2 weeks ago on the tush push, or at least their version of it, was faulty. In other words, the refs want Kansas City to win. If they have an opportunity, they're going to take it. The past Super Bowl with Bradbury and the receiver, who he, you know, it was a close call. I would have called it too. So be watching for that on Sunday. But imagine an elementary school each day in Kansas City is Spirit Day, and tomorrow is dressed like a ref day for some reason. You know, they're only elementary school kids. Maybe they thought, hey, we have 5 days. What are we going to do here? All right, come dress like a ref. But the whole world now is apparently sensing the view that the NFL has gone out of their way to get the Chiefs in there. Let's see why. I mean, is it gotten not tired? They're not the up-and-coming club. They're the dynasty. The Taylor Swift story is tiring to people. Maybe the Kelsey's are a bit tiring to people. So where's the magic of that? But I'm sure if there's anything that's a bad call or appears to be a bad call, we're going to be seeing that, hearing that on Sunday. Let's hope it's not end of the game stuff like 2 years ago on that call that really did decide a lot. I think it was justifiable, but it will be interesting. Dan, any comment on that?
I got news that some schools in South Jersey have set up a dummy of a referee and given kids rocks and batteries to throw on this coming.
Now, that's the Philadelphia way. That ought to be. Yeah, how are the Philadelphia public schools countering this? By the way,
how about dress like a walrus day?
There you go. This teacher in yesterday, the Inquirer had this, saying why they ought to let the Philadelphia schools come in 2 hours late. She said that way some teachers might show up, the kids will get fed, and it will count as a school day. Nothing about, well, we got to continue with education here somehow or another.
Yeah, let's just make our lives easier, yeah.
Yeah, but the kids will get fed. I mean, I want the kids to get fed, but I mean, that's what the school is. The teachers are not going to clock in, give them 2 hours, the kids will get fed, everybody gets a day. I understand the parade day. A parade's different. Memories and all, we've been through this. I understand that. If they win and there's a parade on what, Wednesday probably? I think it was Wednesday the last time. Henry, is it Wednesday or Thursday?
Oh, I don't know. I remember being there.
Yeah.
I don't remember when.
So it is, that's something. I'm okay with that. They can't give school off. They want to get that day on the record, but excusing it, looking the other way, I'm okay with that. The 2 hour delay, though, thing is just, you add that to the possibility of a parade. So be watching the refs. The kids in Kansas City are dressing like refs.
Everyone's going to be watching the refs.
Yeah.
Because it's not, it's everyone's talking about it. It's not, everyone's been spurred by the Chiefs.
Right.
Right. So everyone's going to be talking about, oh, we lost because, you know, this call didn't go our way.
Right.
Everyone's privy to it. It's going to be on the NFL whether or not they take precautions as to not, you know, let the Chiefs get away with the ticky-tack calls.
Yeah, exactly. Or be goaded, Kelsey. Goaded the guy into Buffalo, into that, hitting him, and he fell down.
Mahomes is the king of that, where it's like he doesn't go down until the absolute last second, and then he gets trucked, and here come the flags.
Well, if you're near the out-of-bounds thing, you got to be careful with him. You really do. You can't take a shot at him there. You just got to push him with one hand. You got to settle for that if you can. Let's go to let me go to Joe in Bordentown. Joe, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Hi, Joe.
Hello. My answer to the side question would be virtual reality. And also, today is the 25th birthday of the launching of Sims.
Sims.
The Sims. That's amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, the simulated
like
people.
That's awesome.
All right, so virtual reality, okay.
You could say The Sims was the OG virtual reality.
Right.
You're creating lives for people in cyberspace.
Right. Okay, good answer. Jennifer Say has been on the show before. She was the chief executive. She'll give us the exact title at Levi Strauss. She grew tired of the woke policies. I'm not sure if it was just transgender. She got fired. It was a bitter divorce from that. Came on the shows across America. She's back founding her own clothing company, XXXY. And Nellie Gaines and some of the volleyball players are part of an ad that people wish would play. I don't know that, if you have money, they would play it. You can go to youtube.com/at1210WPHT. Here's the ad, and I'll tell you a little bit about it as it's playing, that talks about women in sports and not having to compete against men.
Riley Gaines and Sia Lihilihi are in hot water over their transphobic comments. And I just got to say, who cares if biological males play in women's sports? Just be inclusive.
Could not agree more. This is just a bunch of fear-mongering from right-wing bigots.
Picture Nellie and Riley Gaines listening to this, getting out of the car. They're showing all kinds of females getting ready to compete, what they go through, the pain, the endurance, the running, the weightlifting. The failure, the success.
I'm just going to say it. She's a bigot.
She's been a massive distraction from our team with her hate-filled rhetoric. Sia is not inclusive. And males invading women's sports isn't even a problem, as far as I'm concerned.
These female athletes
real
just
strength.
Need to work harder.
And not blame others for their lack of success.
Real courage, it now says.
As the captain, Sia is very much responsible for these boycotts, which have cost her team a playoff bid.
Guess we'll see how Sia handles all that pressure tonight.
And real girls rock. XXXY, thetruthfits.com on the screen.
The line that gets me every time, and remember we interviewed Dan for Reading, Writing, and Reason, someone about this, when they say they're blaming others because they can't compete. They just got to work harder. That's the thing. If that doesn't set you off, you have no sense of reality then. All right. So Jennifer Say is the architect of this company, clothes company, coming up. Nellie Gaines, the younger sister of Riley Gaines, part of this. Where are the other female athletes? She's next on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.